Please join me in the prayer for illumination. God of wisdom and truth, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path as we listen and reflect on your scriptures today. Amen. Our first reading is from Colossians chapter 1, 11 through 20. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth are created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Excuse me. Our hymn is Psalm 46, number 191 in the big blue hymnal.
Our gospel lesson today is from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 to 43, actually. Hear now God's word as it comes to us from Luke. Two others who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that they called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
"Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The last line of scripture on the last Sunday of the church year. The last thing we hear from Luke before we turn back to the Gospel of Matthew for next year's readings. It seems like an odd thing to be reading on this last day of the church year, the story of the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, especially when the last day of the church year is called Christ the King Sunday. In a country that claims democracy as its political system, and in a religious tradition that avoids lofty phraseology in its theology, the idea of Christ as king may seem pompous and overblown, especially when we consider the life of Jesus, the way he lived, and the people he championed. After all, kings are grand people who wear grand clothing and do grand things. They're not itinerant preachers who walk dusty roads and depend on others to support them. Kings are distinguished and dignified. Well, except perhaps Henry VIII. But they would never consort with the poor, the lawbreakers, the lowlife of society. And kings protect their kingdoms by fighting to defend them or take over other kingdoms. Use of force is always acceptable when their empire is concerned. And so it may be hard to wrap our heads around this day with its image of Christ as king. It is for me just trying to put together some coherent words that reflect my understanding of this is difficult. Especially when I read our gospel passage that details the crucifixion. How can this man who was hung on a cross be considered a king? And what does that have to do with us? As we read the passage from Luke, we wonder how we got here. Even if we've been following the story, it seems almost impossible that Jesus was even important enough at the time to be crucified. I mean, we know the story. We know the discomfort that Jesus brought to the Pharisees. And we may have even caught on by now that Jesus made everyone in power uncomfortable, including the Romans. But to crucify him? At least according to the Gospels, he wasn't preaching insurrection. He didn't claim kingship for himself or seek any kind of political power. However, he did call out the powerful for their abysmal treatment of the poor and the oppressed, seeking to redirect the focus of religious practice. And that did threaten the status quo between the Pharisees and the Romans. In the passage, we see Jesus at the center of things, the people standing watch, the religious leaders scoffing, the soldiers mocking and casting lots for his clothing, between two prisoners, one who derided him. "Save yourself," they all demand. Save yourself. It's what a broken world demands of us, The lie we tell ourselves because believing in a salvation beyond ourselves is too hard, seems too difficult. We seek more and more control over our lives because the broken world tells us that it's not only possible, but it's the only way. The idea of Jesus Christ as King flies in the face of all of that. Jesus, fully human, fully divine, was with God from the beginning as the Word, as the Christ. In fact, as the companion to the Book of Common Worship says, in Christ all things began and all things will be fulfilled. In his kingdom, the other will be helped. Evil will be met with good. Forgiveness is offered even to those who do evil, and the prisoner is set free. Not the response of the broken world, is it, which turns away from the other, which believes and spreads the lies of evil, and which imprisons us in those lies. And this is where the power of Christ comes in, the special power that turns what we have come to expect from the world on its head and brings new life and new perspective to it. Through him, we have the power to heal broken relationships and family systems, to comfort the bereaved and the sick and the suffering, to work for justice for oppressed people everywhere, to support struggling families and hungry children. These are not things that worldly powers are interested in. Our world is an individualistic, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of place where if you believe in ideals such as peace and justice and compassion, you are likely to be labeled politically correct or weak or socialist. But the work of Jesus Christ in the world, the work we are called and commissioned by him to do, transcends the labels of politics and all of the things that the world values so highly. The work of Jesus Christ is hopeful, is merciful and compassionate, is loving and caring and peaceful. If this sounds utopian, well, isn't that what the kingdom of God should be? A wonderful utopian ideal where there is no suffering, no sorrow, no pain, no violence, no darkness. This week is Thanksgiving, and I find it interesting that the world is doing its best to obliterate Thanksgiving, to minimize it and skip over it in that mad dash to Christmas. Perhaps because it's a holiday that can't be capitalized on very easily, can't be corrupted by compelling people to buy things other than food and maybe a few decorations. Perhaps it's because it's a holiday that, even though it has its roots in early Christians in this country, it also has its roots in Native Americans loving their neighbors. And as such, transcends religion and commercialism so that it's become the great American holiday that is celebrated by everyone. Everyone can kind of give their own flavor to the holiday. Some have a meal of turkey and dressing, very traditional. Some have tamales. Some have kung pao chicken. Some come together with their families of origin, and some people come together with friends and even strangers who cannot get to their own families, or perhaps have no families of their own to celebrate with. Some people cook at home. And some go out to eat because they can no longer cook for themselves. Or perhaps it's only them and cooking a whole turkey seems silly. Some people watch football and parades. Some play games. And some families fight over dinner. It is a holiday that I think Christ would have loved because it's about giving thanks for what you have and sharing what you have with others. It's a holiday that at its best can be subversively about working for the kingdom of God because it is all about peace, justice, love, and hope. And the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ is about all of these things. Peace, justice, love, and hope. The wandering preacher who died on a cross becomes the servant king who loves us all and encourages us all to love others, and especially the others, the strangers in our midst, the ones who cannot help themselves, the ones who just need a gentle hand to lead them on. A servant king who sought justice from an imperial system and offers hope for reconciliation in a broken world. Through Christ, we see the world not only as it is, but as it can be and as it was created to be, perfect, beautiful, and complete, where no one goes hungry for any reason, where children are welcomed and blessed, where the cast-offs of society find a place to be, where love always wins. Love wins. Amen.